I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. Today, the Oscar edition of Midday at the Movies. The Hollywood awards season reaches its apex on Sunday after a year in which many think that the movie business, beginning with the Weinstein scandal, reached its nadir. From Oscars So White to Me Too and Time's Up, there are movements aplenty in Hollywood to make sure that the people in front of and behind the cameras are allowed to work without fear of harassment and reflect the racial and gender diversity of America. Will this year's winners indicate progress? Plus, the cultural and financial phenomenon that is the Black Panther. Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival and Max Weiss of Baltimore Magazine join me, and J. Wynn Russick has her weekly theater review when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. It's Midday at the Movies, the special Oscar edition. The 90th annual Academy Awards take place on Sunday night. Jimmy Kimmel will host. Jed Dietz, the founder and director of the Maryland Film Festival, will be tuning in, as he has done every year since 1928, when the golden statues were first handed out. So you're looking very chipper and lively and youthful as ever, Jed.
Thank you. That first dinner was wonderful.
It was really terrific. Max Weiss is here as well. She is now the editor-in-chief of Baltimore Magazine. That's a terrific title. It sounds as cool as
it sounds. Pretty fancy, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, I'm the chief now.
Yeah, you're the
I think
chief.
They can just call me chief around the office.
I think that would be nice.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, when I see some of those movies, you know, the, like the old-timey movies with the people in the togas and stuff, and everybody addresses the person in charge, yes, my liege. I've suggested this to our production crew. They have not warmed up to it.
Really? That's very disappointing.
But you might want to try that,
they
Max.
They really need to respect your authority.
Exactly. But if I had some, they'd have something to respect. But congratulations for that. But that's she's running Baltimore Magazine. And you, of course, have not missed an Oscar broadcast since you were a teenager in the late 1990s. And I appreciate that. That's really good. That's true.
I knew I liked you.
There
Tom.
You go.
Yes.
So, listeners, we want to know who you are rooting for at the Oscars. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @midday_WYPR. So before we talk about the Oscars, we have to talk about this amazing phenomenon that is the Black Panther.
Yeah.
So Linnell and Miranda and I saw this the other night. I just thought it was a terrific movie. But Jed Dietz, I mean, as a financial record breaker, it's really quite a phenomenon.
And therefore a cultural changer. I mean, you just can't overstate at this point how important this movie is. And I agree with you, first of all. I think it's a really majestic, wonderful movie. And, you know, from a comic book, I get all that. But big Hollywood movie, I get all that. I think it's really terrific. But, it breaks down this huge wall that had been created in Hollywood that you cannot sell black cast, black theme movies, black director, all that sort of stuff, especially overseas. All those rules are now gone. And this movie, which is domestically has done $422 million. I mean, this is really a record breaker. It has legs and it's doing great business overseas. It hasn't even opened in Japan and China yet. And it's already breaking numbers overseas. So it's just impossible to overstate the cultural impact this is going to have on movies.
Total gross as of yesterday or last night, $748.1 million.
Amazing.
Did anybody really think that all black movies are going to have this like niche Tyler Perry kind of audience? I mean,
movie was very meaningful even before it was released because it was the first Marvel film to feature a black superhero and an all-black cast. And we already knew that Ryan Coogler, the director, was really talented because he had done Creed and Michael B. Jordan was in it. And I felt like there was so much pressure on him to make this movie great because people were really sort of like staking their hopes and dreams on this film. And I thought, guys, it's just a movie. But then, once I saw it, I thought, man, he really like... he fulfilled the promise and then some, you know, because it's so thrilling. It's more emotionally involving than the average Marvel film. It's still exciting. It's still part of the dreaded Marvel cinematic universe, but he does great world building of Wakanda. So, but yes, the next question is Hollywood finally going to wake up and see that not just Black people go see films that feature Black cast, but white people do too, as long as they're good movies. It's just there's still a lot of white people, I'm afraid, in positions of power who are the ones who are sort of saying yes, green lighting the projects. And let's see if they finally can sort of expand their horizons. All this money is certainly going to help them do that.
I really think that discussion's over. I mean, what happens next is we don't know. But I think these numbers are just irrefutable.
But is it a trickle down so that Black indie filmmakers would benefit from, you know, this, because they're probably working in an alternative universe?
I think adventure will benefit in general. I mean, I just think this kind of breakout makes all the executives, all the suits. I mean, Bob Iger bet $250 million on this thing against all history in Hollywood, and he won the bet. And I think that changes
the ball.
He's
the head of Disney.
He's the head of Disney. And that changes the ball game. And you have to remember, Ryan Coogler, what Max said is exactly right. I mean, the pressure on this thing, I mean, when you're making a $250 million bet plus $50 or $60 million of marketing, that the pressure is intense. And Ryan Coogler, 2 years ago, had a little indie at Sundance that had come out of the Sundance Labs called Fruitvale Station.
And I love that movie.
Great movie. Fantastic movie.
And by the way, something not to be missed, that movie was shot by one of the very few female cinematographers in the world, Rachel Morrison, and she shot The Black Panther.
And she's up for an Oscar.
And
she's up
this year.
Yes.
Right.
For
yes. Which I love.
So I mean, this is breaking multiple barriers, and it's done it. I mean,
I want to believe what you're saying, that this is going to open up the floodgates and we're going to be seeing more films like this. I just feel like there is such systemic, I wouldn't say necessarily racism, although I suppose you could, but I'm just the people in power, people tend to green light projects about people who look like them. And I feel like until we get those systemic changes at the top of the studios, I just wonder. I was watching TV and I kept seeing all these commercials for these new shows about the renegade new lawyer and the renegade doctor and the renegade crime, and they were all white men. And I thought, are they not looking out the window and seeing what's happening? There has been this seismic cultural shift, and yet ensconced in their little ABC, CBS studios, they don't seem to see it. But I do agree, if any film is going to sort of move that needle, it's Black Panther, because it's a phenomenon like nothing we've seen before.
Right. Because well before Black Panther, it seems to the people in the movie business must have known, because if I know it, they know it, because I've read it in Variety and Wall Street Journal. The people who buy more movie tickets than anybody else, Black women.
Interesting.
They purchase more movie tickets than any other demo, right? Which is why I think movies like Girls Trip,
a great movie, Hidden Figures also did. It's happening. It is undeniable.
But they're buying tickets to movies that are not just about other Black women. They're buying tickets to all sorts of movies.
God bless them.
We are going to talk more about the cultural significance of Black Panther coming up on Tuesday here on Midday with Dr. Sherry Parks.
Oh, great.
Who does our culture connections each month. And we're going to be joined by Dr. Stanford Carpenter. He's an academic from Chicago who's the head of, get this, this is cool. This is a really cool thing if you're an academic to be the head of, the Institute for Comic Studies.
Wow.
He is the first guy.
Living the dream.
He is living the dream because he's the first Black guy to study Black people in comics.
Oh, wow.
Right? So he knows this stuff. So we're going to talk about the sort of cultural significance of
the
Black Panther.
And Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, Baltimore's own, has written Black Panther. Now he's doing Captain America. So I'm giving you a talking point, Tom, for your conversation.
He's in the middle of that. So that'll be really interesting. Now, here's another thing. When we talk about the Oscars, we hear about the strategic release dates of movies being skewed towards the end of the year. So here's Black Panther being released in February. Does that mean come Oscar time next year, people are going to forget about this movie?
This is another conventional wisdom thing that may be breaking down. I mean, Get Out was released a year ago, and it's up for a bunch of awards. And I would say that's one of those, not like I mean, that's one of those films to keep your eye on as you go into the ceremony, because I think you may get surprised by Get Out. Three billboards the other
one. It's not going to be forgotten. Nobody can forget this.
You can't forget because by that point, Lord knows what the gross will be. But if it's $748 million in the first few weeks.
Right. And B, can we not talk about next year's Oscars when we haven't even talked about this year's Oscars? Can we all just do that?
I'm future-based, Max. It's all about the future for me. So ABC Television has sold out its ad inventory for the 2018 Oscars. They sold it out 2 weeks ahead of the telecast. That's the earliest they've had a sellout. That's interesting. I mean, it does seem that Oscars, according to people in the corporate world who are making bets about eyeballs, is going to attract a lot of eyeballs. I mean, in this year where Hollywood has been so disrupted, you know, to put it gently, because of Messrs. Weinstein et al. I mean, are we seeing any backlash to that? Are people, I mean, they can't sell the Weinstein company. They tried to do that, and that's stalled. You know, there was a group of women who were going to buy it, and it's in such horrible shape, they couldn't make it happen.
I mean, I think the disruption that you're listing is very real. I think you look at the other factor I would ladle in there is this incredible expansion of the Academy membership that started a couple years ago after the Oscars so white, was so clear what was happening and how systemic it was. And you see through all the nominations, you know, a thread of youth and a thread of color that you just didn't see a few years ago.
The Oscars So White thing, which is, you know, the precursor to Time's Up and Me Too.
Right.
It does seem to have had an effect in these last couple of years when you look at the list of nominations, Max.
Yeah. And of course, last year's Moonlight winning Best Picture last year, which it ultimately did after that whole mix up, which was the most insane thing
La La
I've
La
ever
Land seen. Didn't win.
Yeah, I've never seen anything. I've never had more secondhand embarrassment in my entire life than in that moment.
It's true. God, it was just watching. It was embarrassing.
There's secondhand smoke and secondhand embarrassment.
A year later, but Moonlight was a game changer as a winner. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a film about a black poor gay man. It was low budget, directed by a black man, and it was kind of an art film.
It's the second film from a guy who was at our festival a few years ago with a little tiny, beautiful little tiny movie called Medicine for Melancholy.
Right, exactly.
Which I also love.
Yeah. Just absolutely stunning. So with that, because Moonlight was such a game changer, I think that the Oscars are a little more unpredictable than they used to be. Like, it used to be, you kind of knew what an Oscar film was, you know? Like, this is what an Oscar film looks like. It's going to be historic. It might be literary. It might be uplifting. It has a positive message. Da, 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 da. Now, you know, it's like, game's on. It's the wild, wild west out there. Right.
Let's listen to a clip from one of the movies nominated for Best Picture. You mentioned Get Out.
Yep.
There's also a nomination for Daniel Kaluuya as Best Actor from Get Out. Here's a little clip from Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Do they know him? Do they know I'm black?
No. Should they?
It seems like something you might wanna, you know, mention.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend, and I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
You said I was the first black guy you ever dated.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so this is uncharted territory for him. You know, I don't want to get chased off the lawn with a shotgun.
You're not going to. First of all, my dad would have voted for Obama a third time if he could have. Like, the love is so real. I'm only telling you that because he's definitely going to want to talk to you about that. They are not racist.
All right.
I would have told you.
As always, important to listen to the music. Because it's poignant, it's loving, but it's also a little sinister.
It is a little ominous.
Don't give anything away, though.
I'm not giving anything away. But what are the chances that a movie like Get Out, which is a horror movie, first of all, in the horror genre.
And a comedy,
would win Best Picture. Max, what do you give it?
I think it's one of three films that has a chance to win.
I agree.
What are the other two?
Shape of Water and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. So my prediction is The Shape of Water. Oh. But I think Get Out it has more than a puncher's chance, I would mm-hmm. say, of winning.
All right. Darkest Hour is in the mix. There are 9 nominees. And, of course, Jed, we've talked about this before. It's a moving target in terms of number of nominees for Best Picture. Sometimes it's as few as 5, 4 or 5. Other times it's as many as 10 or 11. What's your take?
Well, in Best Picture, I mean, Dunkirk and Darkest Hour are the old white Academy nominations, right? And the numbers are still with them, so you would have to take them seriously. And both of them, quite terrific movies in very different ways.
In terms of the numbers of the kinds of voters.
Exactly.
I don't think Darkest Hour has a chance.
No, I don't really either.
Although
I think Oldman is a lock for Best
Oldman
Actor.
Is a lock.
Very Oldman.
Don't jump ahead.
Right.
So
here are the nominees for listeners who don't happen to have a scorecard sitting in their car. Call Me by Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Right. Now, I want to make something incredibly clear, because there's sometimes confusion about this. When I make my predictions for what I think is going to win, these are not my personal favorites. These are my predictions based on sort of reading the tea
leaves. So you're doing Oscar whispering.
Oscar whispering, years of covering Oscars, following Oscars. Although I have to say, last year I picked La La Land and Moonlight
shook. And you were almost right.
I was shook.
You were right for 30 seconds.
I was so smug in those 30 seconds. You can't even imagine. But now Moonlight was my favorite film of last year.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to win.
Yeah.
Okay, so this year my favorite films on this list are Call Me By Your Name and Phantom Thread, 2 films that I adored. I also adored The Florida Project and was very sad it wasn't nominated.
But you don't think that Phantom Thread or Call Me By Your Name has a chance of winning the Oscar?
No, I do not. I think that these 3 films, Shape of Water, 3 Billboards, and Get Out, are the only ones. And Shape of Water, it just feels right. The Academy, they love Guillermo del Toro. It has a very positive message of social acceptance. It's really cool to look at. I didn't love the film. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it.
All right. So, Jed, we got to go to break. What's your prediction? And we will hold you to this.
Yeah, this is it. You're
next time
in.
We see you. The next time I see you, we're going to forget about this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think I agree with those 3. I would have to add in, just because of the beauty of the movie and also the history of it in the Academy stuff, Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. I hope Get Out wins, because mm-hmm. I think it's the single most important movie we got all year.
All right. You've heard it here
first. Wait, was that a prediction? I hope. I didn't hear a prediction in there. Is that your prediction?
I was sort of with you, I think, predicting.
So you think Shape of Water is going to be the...
I would actually say, I think Shape of Water or Dunkirk are sort of the classic movies. But I think your reasoning's right. I mean, I think Del Toro is revered, rightly so, in Hollywood.
Mamby-pamby. Take a stand, Dietz, for God's sake. All right. We'll have listeners take a stand when we come back. We'll have some phone calls, some questions, some comments, perhaps 410-662-8780, our email, midday@wipr.org, our Twitter handle @midday WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Stick around. Here's a little Kendrick Lamar from Black Panther.
You're listening to Midday here on your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
It's the trumpets with the mutes that get me every time. Love that part. It's Midday. We're doing Midday at the Movies today, our Oscar edition. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the program, it's the first in our series of conversations with the candidates. Alec Ross is one of the 9 Democrats who will be on the ballot in June, vying for the chance to face Governor Larry Hogan in the general election in November. He is a former State Department official in the Obama administration and the author of a critically acclaimed book called The Industries of the Future. He will be my guest for the hour tomorrow on Midday. By the way, coming up later in today's show, a review of Countdown, a play at the Strand Theater in Baltimore with our theater critic Jay Wynn Russick. But now, As I mentioned, it's back to Midday at the Movies. Jed Dietz is the founder and director of the Maryland Film Festival. Max Weiss is the editor-in-chief of Baltimore Magazine. She also writes about culture at Vulture.com, which is the entertainment website of New York Magazine. What's your pick for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress? 410-662-8780 is where you can register your vote. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You want to send us a tweet, @midday WIPR. So let's start with actors, and let's go to actresses first. Let's do the ladies first. We have Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand in Three Billboards, Margot Robbie in I, Tanya, Saoirse Ronan, how do I say her name?
Saoirse
Ronan, who starred in Lady Bird, and of course, the perennial favorite, Meryl Streep, who played Kay Graham in The Post. So, you know, that's what I call a good crop of candidates there, Jed.
It's a fantastic crop of candidates. And I think I personally would love to see Meryl Streep finally win her fifth Oscar for acting, then beating Katharine Hepburn.
So she's tied for the most? And if she wins one more, she's the all-time leader?
And she dominates the nominations. I think she's had 20 acting nominations, which I don't think anybody's even close to.
I do think
that
we take Meryl for granted sometimes.
Exactly.
She is
and she was really good in this movie.
In so many films. And there's a little bit of ho-hum. Meryl Streep has another Oscar nomination.
If you're nominated, I think it's 22 times. If you're nominated 22 times, that's not being overlooked. I mean, come on, man.
Okay, no, but I think that she's great. She's great in The Post. I agree with you.
Yeah. And I think it's a delicate, really extraordinary performance that if it had been her first, I think she'd be a lock, you know.
Interesting.
That's all I'm saying. But I do think it's a hugely good category, wonderful performances. But I think Frances McDormand, who brings all the sort of political stuff with her because people love her in Hollywood and respect her career, stage, television, et cetera, is just magnificent in Three Billboards, even if you don't like the movie. And I know there's controversy around the movie. I like it a lot, but I think her performance is brave and accomplished.
And that's one of those things. I mean, I saw that movie and didn't like it very much.
Same. Neither,
but, you know, she is terrific. And Miss McDormand is amazing. And, you know, Miss Streep is just, you know, stunning. But some of these other people, I mean, Sally Hawkins, I mean, in The Shape of Water, this is, you know, a performance that a lot of people are pointing to as really extraordinary.
It is.
But she doesn't say a whole lot in that movie, does she?
She doesn't say anything. I mean, it's a silent film role.
But that would be extraordinary if she wins for a role in which she has no speaking part.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she sort of is evocative of, you know, Buster Keaton, you know, the great silent film actors in that role. And she's absolutely amazing. For me, the big revelation was Margot Robbie. I just didn't know she had that in her. She's great in that. Saoirse Ronan, she's going to win an Oscar one day. This is inevitable.
She's so good in Lady Bird, too.
She's so talented. Incredible.
She's good
just
in anything I've ever seen.
Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Jed. I think Frances McDormand is going to win, and deservedly so. She's so fierce. She's just this blast of righteous anger and energy in that film, and she sustains the film. I didn't love the film, but I loved her in it, and I kind of look forward to her acceptance speech because she is one of the sort of least polished. She keeps it real, you know. She'll kind of go galumphing onto the stage and she'll say something incredibly provocative and unpolished, and you know, you don't sense that there's any handlers or PR agents behind her. And I really love that about her. I just think
they say the same thing about the president of the United States too. I mean, there is a particular, I'm not, you know, equating them, but there is a particular appeal, obviously. I mean, he got elected. I mean, there's a particular appeal to people who, you know, don't look Hollywood-y.
Well,
you know,
and I'm insulted on Frances McDormand's behalf, but I take your
another secondary insult. We have secondary embarrassment, secondary smoke, and now secondary insult. Let's listen to a little clip from Mudbound. Mary J. Blige is one of the actresses nominated for actress in a supporting role. I'm actually, to tell you the truth, not sure if she's in this clip, but here's Mudbound.
You use the back door.
Go on, son. Son, we don't want no trouble here. Go on. Go on.
You know what? You're absolutely right. When we was overseas, they didn't make us use the back door. General Patton put us on the front line. Yes, sir. And you know what we did? We kicked the hell out of Hitler and them Jerrys. Are y'all at home safe and sound?
Again, she wasn't in Mary J. Blige, yeah. Not in that particular clip, but in an intense clip in an intense movie that I loved. I just thought that movie was terrific. It did not get nominated for Best Picture, which has a lot of people very upset.
This person.
Myself included.
Yes. That's what you're talking about, Best Actress in a Supporting
in
Role.
In a support,
right,
so supporting actress for Mary J. Blige, who I thought was terrific. We have Allison Janney, you know, television star, a movie star, in I, Tonya. That's the narrative biopic about Tonya Harding. We have Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread, which is alleged to be Daniel Day-Lewis's last movie. Mm-hmm. And then Laurie Metcalf, who's getting a lot of attention for her role in Lady Bird as the mom. And then Octavia Spencer, another terrific African-American actress in The Shape of Water. So I don't know. When you look at that field, Max, who's going to win?
Allison Janney is going to win. And I'm a little disappointed about that because although I love Allison Janney, I didn't love this performance. I thought it was kind of broad and bordered on caricature, whereas I thought there were two really actually, there's three. I love Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird. Mm. I mean, there is a scene when she drops her daughter off at the airport and she drives away. They're sort of in a fight and she starts crying and she comes back around and furiously runs back into the airport. That is one of the most emotional, touching. She's so great in this film. I love Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread. She could do the most amazing things with the most subtle gesture, a cock of the eyebrow, just touching her face. She's brilliant. And Blige was quite a revelation in Mudbound, too. But I think Allison Janney, this is one of the ones that's pretty much a lock, I would
right.
say.
What do you think?
Well, I think Blige is going to win. I think Mary J. Blige is going to win that category.
Really?
I agree with everything you said. I will also quickly say that I think Octavia Spencer was totally wasted in Shape of Water.
Yeah, same. I didn't even mention. I mean, she's a fantastic actress. I adored her, say, in Hidden Figures. But in this, meh.
Yeah,
but wow! So you're going for the upset, Mary J. Blige?
Yeah.
That's so bold.
Boy, I really hope she wins too, because I thought that,
well, that would be
I thought
incredible.
That whole movie was terrific.
And you're right. There's always one surprise, and maybe it'll be there. But
and again,
but I'm going to stick with.
And from what is a major studio now, which is Netflix. I mean, that's an amazing thing, too. I mean, we got to keep in mind, Netflix and Amazon, Hulu, these people are producing movies now that are hits on small screen and large. So let's go to the actors in a leading role. And again, Jed, you seem pretty confident, and perhaps you too, Max, as well, that Gary Oldman, who played Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour, is a lock for this. But he's up against Timothée Chalamet, who's in Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out, and then Denzel Washington, who gave a very good performance in this movie called Roman J. Israel, Esquire. So, what do you think? So, to beat Oldman in Darkest Hour, his portrayal of Churchill, what has to happen?
I don't think anybody can beat him. I just think he's a great actor. This is a great performance. Again, irrespective of what you think of the movie, and he also brings in that thing that always woos the biggest block of Academy voters, the acting block. Because he's had this unbelievable career, you know, starting Sid and Nancy and on and on and on. I mean, he's just a revered actor and member.
And the range of roles.
Exactly.
I mean, from playing Sid Vicious to Winston Churchill is really quite extraordinary.
The most extraordinary thing to me, and this is, I was not a big fan of Call Me By Your Name, but I think Timothée Chalamet is,
And he's a young man with a
great future. He's a revelation in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think, Max?
I totally agree with that. I think Gary Oldman's going to win. If I had my druthers, Timothée Chalamet would win. He's just incredible. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but there is a final scene of that film where the camera is just trained on him, and you're watching all of this emotion cross his face, and it's like a masterclass in acting. And he is the most exciting young actor out there. And, of course, I love Daniel Day-Lewis in The Phantom Thread. And it's kind of amazing in a way that he's not the front runner. And this, we can talk about the way, I forget the studio that released The Phantom Thread, but they did not do a good job with it. They released it too late. Too much of the Oscar conversation had happened already. Gary Oldman was already sort of safely ensconced in that front runner role. Because I feel like if The Phantom Thread had come out earlier, we'd be talking about Daniel Day-Lewis because it is allegedly going to be his last role.
Yeah.
And he is,
might be the sort of
to me, he
favorite.
Is our greatest living male actor.
It's also one of these roles where you can't quite figure out why, but he's just mesmerizing all through the film.
Oh, my God,
And I always think films are too long. This is one of these ones I could have sat there and watched him alone. for more.
I've seen that one twice. I've seen Call Me By Your Name twice. These are films I'm going to be visiting over and over again.
So as George W. Bush might have said, bad strategery then when it comes
I think so. Yeah. I really do. But yes, but Gary Oldman, he's pretty much.
Yeah, by the way, some little factoids about the Oscars. Okay. $44 million. This is according to Wallet Hub. They say that the Oscars will cost $44 million to produce. The commercials, which we talked about before, which have been sold out now for a couple of weeks, $2.6 million for a 30-second commercial. That's nearly 50% cheaper than the Super Bowl. The cost of the red carpet, $25,000.
With the actual carpet?
Yeah, the actual carpet. This is according to Wallet Hub. The statue itself worth $900. And here's one that I find hard to believe. I'm going to repeat this, but this seems like a rumor to me. $10 million, they say, is the cost of the look for an A-list actress attending the Oscars. $10 million
with the jewels. It might that might be what
Harry
makes
Winston,
it $10 million.
You know, they lend them the jewels.
Right, exactly. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned, and I know we have to get to Best Supporting Actor, is the host, Jimmy Kimmel. And you know, he hosted it
last year. Very charming and smart guy.
He is a very charming and smart guy. And I thought he did a pretty good job last year.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed at first when they announced him as the host again, because again, it didn't quite feel of the zeitgeist. Like, are you kidding me?
We're going with
a white man again. But this year, he has really inserted himself in the conversation about healthcare, about gun violence. He's actually turned his platform as a talk show host into a sort of political activism platform. And suddenly it seems like he's exactly the right guy to host it. And I've always loved him anyway. He's very funny.
And once Colbert turned his show into a political platform, the ratings went up. So
yeah,
it's
that's
interesting. All right. So let's go then to the actors in a supporting role. William Dafoe in The Florida Project, which you, Max, were, you know, lamenting the fact that it's not nominated for Best Picture, but Mr. Dafoe certainly did a good job in that. Woody Harrelson in Three Billboards. He played the sheriff. Richard Jenkins in The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World. He got called, you know, on a Monday. He taped it on Tuesday, and he was done on Wednesday. That was all very nice. And then Sam Rockwell again in Three Billboards. So two guys from the same movie, Three Billboards. Actor in a supporting role. Mr. Dietz, your prediction.
I think Christopher Plummer is going to win it. I think the story of him stepping into this role in a movie that was finished and knocking it out of the park.
Replacing Kevin Spacey, whose sexual transgressions, you know, one of many men in Hollywood who's just out of the scene.
Yep.
What do you think, Max?
We'll see.
That's another bold prediction from Jed, I have to say. That is not who I think is going to win. I think Sam Rockwell is going to win. He's won almost all of the awards leading up to the Oscars. The only thing with Sam Rockwell is that it's sometimes when there are two actors from one film, they cancel each other out. So with Woody Harrelson also nominated for the same film, in which case my choice for who I thought gave the best performance, Willem Dafoe, could potentially slip in and win, and I would be ecstatic. But no, my official prediction is Sam Rockwell. I don't think Christopher Plummer has a chance. We'll see.
Well, he has a 1 in 5 chance.
He has a 1 in 5.
He has a 1 in 5.
He has a
20% chance. Yeah. Well, you know, and he's been in the business a long time. Yep. And if he did win,
has he won it before?
Yeah, I think for what was the role in which he played the gay father?
Oh yes, I think he won with Ewan McGregor. Yeah. I can't think of the film, but yeah, he was great in that.
Good for him. Well, you know, I mean, it's like it was all of a week's work. I mean, the hardest part was remembering the lines, and he just probably looked at the script. Okay, shoot, here we go.
He's a pro. Yeah, I love that.
Best director. This is the second year in which both a woman and a man of color were nominated for best director.
Yeah, first woman nominated 9 years for this position. Let's be, you know, fifth in history. So yeah.
Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, and The Shape of Water. Those are the movies up for Best Director. Max, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Guillermo del Toro is going to win this.
For The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it is a beautifully directed film. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's made so many other, you know, Pan's Labyrinth, Crimson Tide, and he's a genius. He's beloved. He's a very warm and loving kind of guy. Just feels like his year. So,
and does it count that, you know, people take in the whole opus of a person's work? I mean, if the fact that he hasn't won before, people say, ah, we got to do this year because, you know, we passed him up in all these other years. Do you think, is that part of the calculation when you're sitting there as a member of the Academy with your ballot?
Yeah, for sure it is. and we've seen it over and over again in Academy history. I mean, there's almost a cliche that sometimes you get nominated for not your strongest work just because it was due, you know, Paul Newman or Denzel or
Martin Scorsese.
I mean, there are lots of example. I mean, people will fight over this stuff, but
I mean, Lady Bird. I mean, that was a standout hit, and here's a young woman who is known as an actor, as a writer, Greta Gerwig, who's also now, you know, her very first directorial try.
It's actually second. She co-directed a film called Nights and Weekends that we had at the festival. She was here with Joe Swanberg, her co-director. But it would be extraordinary for her to win. I think it's the most accomplished of sort of, if you think about all the things a director has to pull through to deliver a movie, and in this case, a small and, you could argue, very tricky story to deliver, I think it's the most accomplished, and I would love to see her.
But again, it's Jordan Peele, who is an incredibly talented young man who, you know, Key and Peele, I will go to my grave thinking he's the finest thing ever to be on television. Well, and this guy is a smart guy, and this is another directorial debut, which surprised everybody. I mean, just financially surprised the whole world.
So accomplished.
And it was terrific.
Yeah. So confident. I mean, you can't believe that it was his first film. It really was. By the way, I think I said Crimson Tide, which is a team. It was the film, I think, was called Crimson Peak. Anyway.
That's right.
But by the way, my favorite director in this group is Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. I think Phantom Thread was so meticulously, lovingly, painstakingly created. I absolutely loved his direction. I think Christopher Nolan did an incredible job in Dunkirk. But yeah, I'm not going to begrudge Guillermo del Toro winning that, if in fact he does, because he's a real talent.
Mm-hmm. But I think if you lob in cultural power, which is often calculated in these things, I think Get Out is, you know, head and shoulders above anything else.
If you had to give it its chances for that particular movie, Best Picture and Best Director, you think he's favored in more than one or the other?
I would say Best Picture more than Director if you have to make that choice.
Yeah, I agree.
How about Best Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay? The Big Sick, which I just loved. Yeah. I thought that was terrific. Yeah. Get Out, again, nominated. Lady Bird, again, nominated. Shape of Water and Three Billboards. So very familiar movies. I think there were 59 movies in total that got nominations in one category or the other. But obviously, when it comes to some of these big awards, you know, they tend to cluster. For my money, I thought The Big Sick was a terrifically written piece.
And it's like Get Out, not great, not that huge cultural force, and, you know, taking us into a racial discussion that we hadn't had before of that type. But it also, it did something, you know, a romantic comedy that does not get much respect from the Academy. And I agree with you, did it so beautifully, it should get respect. I doubt it will win, but I think it's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I look at this original screenplay category, I think it's the most wide open category. Mm-hmm. Because all of these films are the kinds of films that often win Best Original Screenplay, except maybe Shape of Water. But Lady Bird, they love to sort of honor a young, hot director with a young, hot script. But then when you look down, that's what we're seeing, you know, with The Big Sick, with Get Out, with Three Billboards. They're all kind of, well, I guess Martin McDonagh is a little more established, the Three Billboards writer, director.
And he's a playwright, too.
Right. So this one is sort of ripe for upset.
Yep.
My pick is Jordan Peele and Get Out. I think this is the award that Get Out is going to win. So that's my choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. We look forward to tuning in Sunday night.
We have to mention in the animated short category, Max Porter's and Rue's Negative Space, which
they're local.
They teach it. Micah, he runs the Sweaty Eyeballs thing with Phil Davis for us.
And they're and you can catch those movies at the Charles Theater because they're showing both the live and the animated shorts that have been nominated for Oscars.
And may I mention that all of my Oscar picks are up at the BaltimoreMagazine.com website.
All right. So if you want to hold Max Weiss to it, that's where you go. All right. Thanks both of you very much. Appreciate it. And enjoy the show. Max Weiss is now the editor-in-chief of Baltimore Magazine and a writer at Vulture.com. That's the entertainment website of New York Magazine. Jed Dietz, the founder and director of the Maryland Film Festival. Golden Exits is a film that was well-received at the 2017 Sundance Film Festival, and it's one of the movies at the Parkway Theater tonight. The Senator has Black Panther, which, by the way, speaking of screenplays, I thought the screenplay was terrific for that movie, as well as everything else. And the Charles Theater here in Baltimore, as we mentioned, they have three of the Best Picture nominees, plus this year's animated and live-action shorts that have been nominated for Oscars. Come on over to WIPRI.org/midday, and we'll have a link to all the details. Up next, our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, has her weekly theater review. She'll tell us about the latest offering at the Strand Theater. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.